This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
Hi, and welcome to the iFanboy podcast. Number 5? Are we on 5 now?
I think this is number 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
That means that I've done it twice. Anyway, every week on iFanboy, we read a bunch of books, or don't, and the person who has to review them reads through them all and picks out the best one and does a little write-up on the site, and then over the weekend, we record this and talk about it for your downloadable pleasure. This week, as always, I've got Ron and Connor with me.
Hello.
Hola.
Yeah. Ron read this week's pick, so he's going to start us off and tell us what he thought.
All right. Thank you, Josh. First off, let me apologize because I'm under the weather and my throat is killing me.
But that doesn't stop you from doing the pick of the week.
That doesn't stop me. I have a mission. I had to read comics and I had to talk about them. So I had a light week, you know, about 8 books picked up. All Marvel. No DC, no Image, no Indies, it was just a Marvel week. And I don't know if that's a commentary on the kind of books that Marvel put out, but it was really hard to find.
No, that's a commentary on you.
And the kind of books that Marvel put out.
Yeah. I had, if you read my review on the site on ifanboy.com, You know, that I really high hopes because I really, as a kid and through the years, have loved the Marvel holiday specials that they put out every year around Christmas, kind of Christmas-themed out-of-continuity stories. And last year's was kind of like a return to glory of that kind of book. This year, not so much. Big disappointment. It was just about as awful as it gets. Actually, it reminded me of the mid-90s Marvel holiday specials that were awful. So I ended up picking Generation M, which was the first issue of a 5-issue miniseries written by Paul Jenkins and drawn by someone whose name escapes me, Raymond Box. And what it is, it's a supporting miniseries for the Decimation, which I've been referring to as a crossover for the past couple of weeks, but, you know, I really don't think it's a crossover, really, and more just kind of a banner. I guess Batman did that with the Earthquake stuff, didn't they do? It wasn't really a crossover. It was just more kind of like a story arc or storyline type.
It's bigger than that. It's like a...
Right.
It took over all the books for like a year or more. Right.
More than 2 years.
Was it? Right.
Well, it was the year of the actual...
Oh, that was good stuff.
The year of the actual Earthquake and the year aftermath. It was good.
No Man's Land and all that stuff, right? Exactly. Yeah. So I think this is following that more than just a crossover in that, you know, and if you listen to the podcast and if you read comics, you know, okay, mutants been wiped out. There's only 200-300 left. And now they're kind of picking up the pieces. X-Men number 178 also came out this week, one of the core books. And, you know, while, you know, the core books are focusing on how, you know, the whole mutants being wiped out, and then now the government's reaction and bringing back Sentinels and all that kind of stuff, how that affects the main kind of Cyclops, Wolverine, Colossus, you know, White, Emma Frost team. X-Men number 178 was really bad because Peter Milligan, I don't think, can write comics.
Well, that's just being overly harsh.
Well, he can't write these kind of comics. It's just getting worse and worse with every issue, which is really kind of disappointing. But it was nice to see that Generation M, on the other hand, while the art really wasn't that great, the story and the approach of the miniseries was actually quite endearing, in that it kind of focused on, all right, so this happened, and this is kind of a worldwide thing. What is the reaction of the people in New York City, or the reaction of, like, the B or even C-list mutants? And kind of, you know, typical to Marvel, taking the approach of, you know, the everyman on the street, they zero in on one reporter for a smaller newspaper called The Alternative, who used to do a column all about mutants, and apparently her daughter passed away, and now she's a drunk, and this kind of this catastrophe has got her paper to bring back her column, and now she's getting her life back together, and she's telling the stories about the mutants that aren't being told. And with this issue, focuses on Chamber, who was introduced in Generation X.
Horrible idea of a mutant.
About 10 years ago. Oh, you think it's a horrible idea?
No, him. Chamber was just a dumb character.
Oh, yeah, he was... yeah, well,
oddly enough, I like him. I swear to God!
He just never had anything. He never had anything to do. He never had a personality. He
showed up in Runaways before, recently.
Yeah, he was part of that team, the second team.
Yeah, right? I liked him. He was one of my favorite characters out of that. I just think it's because he's so odd that, like, most people don't know what to do with him. But he's odd. He's got a big flaming mouth,
yeah.
Which is not anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently, I guess this book further explains that any of the mutants who had any sort of physical change due to their mutant, you know, kind of mutant power, their bodies stay the same, but the mutant power just went away. So for Chamber, whose heart was a nuclear reactor and blew
Did
a hole
say
in his
nuclear?
Chest.
Nuclear?
Nuclear. I'm
Good
sick.
God.
Oh,
no,
please.
That does. Mispronunciation has nothing to do with illness.
Yes, it does.
You will say nuclear on this podcast.
Nuclear.
And you will like it.
Anyway, so. God. And his lower jaw is blown away and his chest is gone.
So he's dead.
So now his mutant power are gone, except that he's got a big gaping maw from about his upper teeth all the way down to his upper chest.
So that means
he's
dead.
No, he's not dead.
He doesn't have a heart.
How can he be alive without a heart?
And how could he tell the doctor? He just go.
Well, apparently, as explained in one page, when Cyclops and Wolverine hand him off to the paramedics, that he collapsed and Beast was able to stabilize him.
How do you stabilize someone without a heart?
Well, what they're doing is they have a machine that regulates his blood flow, and it's so basically they're pumping blood into him to keep him alive.
What's the point of keeping him alive? Because as soon as they shut the machine off, he dies. Because why, Connor?
Because he doesn't have a heart.
So, nonetheless, he's now in a New York City hospital because they can take care of him.
Oh!
And the X-Men can.
I have a question for you. How does this explain the blob?
It doesn't explain. Well, no, it explains the blob because the physical, what happened to their bodies, stays the same, but they lose their powers.
So then why did he get thin? Shouldn't he have stayed fat?
No, he didn't get thin. His body.
He was thin. I bought the issue after the podcast.
He's thin. So basically, the fat, the subcutaneous fat, was mutant.
Yes. Mutant fat.
Well, if you stay tuned on the back of this issue, they have the covers of issue 2 and 3, and issue number 3 has the blob on the cover.
All right. Well, I look forward to your report on that.
So we will find out what happened to the blob. But regardless,
is an editor asleep somewhere? That's all there is to it. I don't know.
In the week of mediocrity, this was the only one that stood out as kind of somewhat interesting in terms of Jenkins' script and the story that was
told.
How
bad was the art?
The art, I didn't find the art as awful as Art did on the site, who commented about it, but it was, you know, like, this guy was obviously trying to, you know, take a little bit of Brent Anderson from Astro City and a little bit of, you know, Alex Maleev and maybe Gaydos from, like, the Daredevil kind of gritty city ones and mix it all together, but it was just...
Is this a mini?
Yeah, it's a miniseries. It's a 5-issue miniseries. I mean, it really did look like it was drawn with, like, pen and then quickly colored, and it was just, like, it didn't look really very good. So, unfortunate, but what can you do?
The cover looks okay. No, wait, it doesn't.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Face is kind of rough.
Of the other books, though, that came out this week, you know, I mean, New Avengers came out, and I could have made the easy pick and gone with Bendis, but honestly, they revealed who the mystery ninja Ronin was, and it was kind of, like I said, was a bit lackluster.
So you were either damned if you do or damned if you don't. Either pick another Bendis book or pick another Decimation X-Men book.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, it was, you know, pretty much that. Although there was one book that did show promise, and actually I thought of you, Josh, as I was reading it, although it is an X-Men book, it's not a Decimation book. Exiles number 73, which is the god-awful storyline of their crossing over with the New Universe, which was the failed Marvel attempt at a New Universe in 85, under Shooter.
Yeah.
But the first 6 pages of the book are simultaneously telling 2 stories that are happening in 2 different places, with the page cut and split in half.
Ooh,
so the top half was what was happening to one group, and the bottom half was what was happening to the other. Mm-hmm. And those layouts were just a interesting and different approach. Like, I didn't expect it when I opened it up.
Yeah.
And while the subject matter wasn't that great, this was enough to intrigue me to get to page 7 when they just went back to the full page layout and scrapped the concept. So had they kept that concept through the entire book, that would have been a new approach or a different approach, and really would have grabbed me and made me stick with it. But I got really disappointed by page 7.
I bet they got. So. I bet they, you know, like, started it out and then, like, it was too hard.
Yeah, well, it would have been really great if it was kind of like, do you remember? And I know we keep, you know, Connor, we keep talking about it, but, like, not we keep talking about it, but it comes up every now and then. But that great shot in that movie, Rules of Attraction,
yes,
with Vanderbeek and Sossaman,
yes,
walking towards each other, and it's the screen is split in half. And you see, you know, them walking,
and
walking,
it comes
walking,
together as one shot.
And then it comes together when they see each other. Uh-huh. Yeah, like, had they taken that approach where the 2 stories, when they intersected, then it became a full page, that would have been awesome. But they just didn't. So. And Josh, you might be right, but it was probably too hard. So
it, like, sounds to me like, why would you do it for 7 pages and then stop?
Yeah, that's right. Weird. That's really weird.
Yeah,
like the editor was like, this isn't working, fix it, and you just go, oh, all right. I don't know. No, but I know exactly what you're talking about. That's exactly the kind of thing that makes you, like, listen, they tried.
Yeah.
You know, they gave it a shot. It failed, ultimately.
They did. Exiles kind of failed in its delivery of a new and different storyline.
So is this House of M thing that good, or is it just that everything else is that bad?
Well, the House of M thing's over. It's the Decimation thing.
Okay, and it's still the same thing, though.
So far, it has been that good. I mean, it has been enough to get me interested in every week. Like, Wolverine number 36 came out this week, and it's starting the whole, okay, now he knows his memory, and what is he going to do about it? It's enough of a catalyst to provide good stories that make it worth, you know, going to the store every week to see what happens next. And if that's saying that they just ran out of ideas, or, you know, or that, you know, the stories weren't good before this, possibly, but this is just like, it was enough of an earthquake to the mutant universe that are, I really think, good stories are going to come out of it, because there's just such a wealth of subject matter there, because you've got, you know, the kind of this the the death and the dismemberment or lack of powers. And
is
all
it
stuff
something
that's
that needed to happen? I mean, was like, I mean, to me, I get the idea that the whole thing was just kind of foundering after.
Well, I know. I mean, I didn't read it. I don't read much X-Men. I only really jump on depending on who's writing it. But it was getting a little unwieldy. It seemed like the in terms of mutants.
Well, yeah,
they're more interesting ultimately when there's fewer of them, I think.
I agree. I mean, like I said previously, I think there's a certain intrigue to them when they're on the run and when they're the outlaws and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, but they could have gone into, like, as of 6 months ago, they could have gone in two directions. They could have kept the Morrison approach with the school and lots of mutants, which after Morrison left, I don't really think they knew what to do with. But
it takes
astonishing
a hell of an imagination to be able to keep that up.
Yeah.
Right. But Joss Whedon, actually, with Astonishing X-Men, had been keeping up that status quo pretty well. I mean, like, he kept that concept going.
He did real
going
well,
and,
yeah.
Yeah,
did
and
he
so,
leave
so
in
they,
a, in a Hoff? Was it bad?
No. He's they're coming back to do another 12-issue arc, but they wanted to do it after all this happened, supposedly. Mm-hmm. So, apparently, I guess he wasn't involved in the planning of this, and they just, when Astonishing
he was pissed off about something, wasn't he?
I think he might have been pissed off about this. I mean, but not pissed off enough to walk out in a Hoff, though.
Right.
So
his stuff was really good.
His stuff was really good. And,
although you
and
didn't like it.
No, I did like it. I never said I
didn't
like it.
Yes, you did. You said you liked it at first couple of issues, and then it let you down again. We absolutely had that conversation.
Did
yes,
we now?
Yes, we did. You said...
Fascinating.
I remember... Possibly, I read the list.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, because I really liked the first arc with when Colossus came back and everything, but
you
I...
like Colossus. Hey, they brought him back.
But admittedly, the whole the Danger Room coming to life and them fighting the Danger Room wasn't that great.
I think we also came out of that discussion realizing you're never going to like any X-Men arc.
No, that's not true. Yes.
That's
no.
The ultimate irony.
Because it would never be as good as your favorite classic arcs from when you were a kid, so you ultimately they would never live up to it.
You know, it's so easy to damn the X-Men.
Look,
fan.
This is all I'm saying to you because you said that to me. I'm just repeating what you said to me back.
No, there have been times that there have been approaches to the book and stuff like that I've really enjoyed. And my problem with it is that, and I don't think it's a problem with. Well, I think it's a little bit of a problem with the creators, but I think it's more of a problem with editorial and continuity and all them. In that they can't. There are moments of greatness that they can't sustain. And that could be a problem across every book, and I just happen to read X-Men books.
You mean they can't sustain it because of the continuity?
Well, no, they can't sustain it because they don't because they're doing so much that they can't do the work to maintain the quality across all the books.
Well, there's too many books. There's 18 million.
Exactly. Yeah, there are always too many books, and it's unfortunate. But every now and then, I did previous pick of the weeks where the Peter David's Madrox series was an X-Men book, and I loved it. I can't wait for X Factor to come out.
Right. Well, those are different. That's sort of the
same. That's the same as Uncanny. Yeah. I can't remember the last time you were like, this week Uncanny X-Men blew me away, and it did it consistently. Like, say that. Over Rucka's detective run, right. Or something like that. You haven't had one of those in forever.
The thing is that it's been a musical chairs of creators for the past 5 years.
Morrison
and nobody...
was on the One X-Men for a long time, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's the. I think I'm going to propose a radical idea, which Ron is going to hate, but
okay.
I think maybe Marvel has gotten to the point now where they need to have a Crisis on Infinite Earth style reboot of the continuity.
Well, I think that's what this was.
No, for the whole universe, start over, like DC did in 86, because you're getting to the point now where you're looking at 30 or 40 years of continuity starting to drag you down. I mean, DC did it in 85, and every 10 years or so, they get dragged down just from the 10 years previous, and they do it.
Yeah, it's tough.
0 hour now, and it's been a crisis again, but it seems like maybe Marvel needs to just wipe the board.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, but the thing is, I don't think they ever would do that.
No way that happens. Yeah. DC, for some reason, it seems to be more acceptable to do that. Like Marvel, you couldn't do it because there's so many of those.
Well, you could. You could easily do it, but
no, you could.
One would argue
you'd alienate more people doing it with that than you would. Like people get into X-Men continuity way more than they do the Flash or
it's
whoever.
True.
Yeah, no.
I mean, way
true.
More. I don't think there's anything even close to that.
But not even X-Men continuity, but Spider-Man continuity. I mean, if you look at
Avengers,
all
that stuff.
Yeah, because one of the things that makes Marvel so great and I guess really differentiates it in my eyes from DC was that it has, as opposed to abandoning that history and starting over, it's kind of embraced it and continued it. And while Jean Grey and Bucky jokes aside, you know, it's been that kind of thing that, you know, like this visceral reaction. So when Straczynski does that storyline last year about those Peter and Gwen's possible kids, and it turns out that Green Goblin got Gwen pregnant, and all they, I mean, that to a lot of people, that ended Spider-Man right then and there because they couldn't believe it, how they just spit on the past.
Well, right, but even what happens in another 10 years? How much weight can you sustain?
I think the point is that it's getting to the point where it's almost impossible to both keep a hold on the past and have it remain logical.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, it's almost impossible to have it make sense.
Right.
Because you can go forward in time, but you've got to make concessions somewhere. Peter Parker can't be 55.
Right.
So that means that everything had to happen between the time he was 16 and 22, and it doesn't make sense.
Well, I think, I mean, like, we've kind of laughed and joked about this before, but we've seen, like, the time in the Marvel Universe seems to be on really slow because, you know, like, you know, Kitty Pryde is 20 and Rogue is, like, 22. And
hot.
Meanwhile,
they've been in these
books for, like, you know, 20 years.
Well, comic book time in general, superhero time is elastic, and you have to sort of, it has to make sense in your head, but that's not really the point, not the aging issue. It's just the fact that you can't have all of these stories be sacred. You can't. Just the weight of 40 years of sacred stories doesn't make sense.
Because that's non-logical, like, and then you've got writer's state trying to make it logical, and a bunch of readers are going, that doesn't make any sense, because it literally cannot make sense anymore.
Well, it's almost like I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, but it's almost like they need to take. I almost think that they need to like go meet with like the Young and the Restless writers or like the soap operas writers, because they don't reboot Guiding Light or All My Children. They've been going on.
No, but also
those
characters age. I mean, they age and they leave. People,
right? Yeah, true.
I used to watch All My Children in college, which I'm man enough to admit. And,
wow.
And
I don't know what happened to this conversation in the last couple of minutes.
Well, let me just make the point. I was in on it now, and 90% of the characters are new because they eventually have to get rid of the old ones and replace them. You couldn't. Are you prepared to say that? All right, now they start to age like normal, and then in 10 years, Spider-Man retires, and we'll, you know.
I think we need to get off the aging. I think we need to get off the aging.
No, but if you're going to compare to soap opera, that happens in soap operas. Characters age.
Right. No,
and they
but the age thing isn't going to happen. I mean, like, the thing is that, you know, Mr. Fantastic is always going to have those gray temples, and Spider-Man, you know, and although now he's married, but he's always going to be in his 20s, and we're not going to see.
But he wasn't always in his 20s. He was a teenager.
Right, no, I know, but they are doing some level of maturation or whatever, or growth of these characters.
Right, I don't know what I'm saying, that's the problem.
But the thing is that what I'm trying to say is that you do have the new characters coming in and characters going away and that sort of thing. I mean, case in point, we've joked about, you know, Iceman, you know, being an accountant and losing his powers and stuff like that. He will probably fade in the background after the storyline is done and be gone either forever or somehow he'll get his powers back and, you know, and be a character again. The same thing, like, with, you know, Jean Grey, Dark Phoenix dies, and then 5 years later they resurrect her, and then she's back, and then she's gone, and then she's back. I mean, characters move in and out as the stories, you know, mandate themselves. So it's, I don't know, it's...
But they do age. Peter Parker has age. And I think what I'm saying is that if you're going to concede that you have to bend reality for that, then people have to be able to bend reality and adjust
flexible.
The past so that they can keep doing things.
Right. Well, the thing is that, don't get me wrong, I mean, like, when you say that, you know, like, that I'm, you know, forever nostalgic for the X-Men books of my youth, and I just want it to be like Claremont and Byrne back in the 80s or whatever, I don't mean that from a story standpoint, I mean it from a quality standpoint. That I really feel as if you took that, you know, all the, you know, you take any trade paperback from Morrison's run, and you sit down next to Dark Phoenix Saga or Days of Future Past or From the Ashes or the Extinction Agenda or any of those old ones, it doesn't hold up, not because of continuity or because of there are too many mutants, because the quality isn't there.
Well, how many X-Men books were there when Claremont was writing, like, in the
X-Men?
Two
to four.
Yeah,
two. One. Yeah,
one or two.
One or two. Yeah,
now you've
yeah.
got, counting miniseries and offshoots, you've got 15 X-Men related books. Of course, you'll never have the quality that good when the entire run is not under the auspices of one writer.
Bob it's Harris like, has like, this argument with himself all the time as he sits by himself and smokes.
it just won't come together. it's like pitching in the major leagues now. With 30 teams, there's just not enough pitching.
Yeah.
You know? And,
well, it's,
and
not,
that's
it's not even there's not enough. There are 30 good writers. There are 30 talented writers. The problem is you can't maintain a cohesive vision with 30 books. You right. could with one and, book, and, you can and, with two books, you can't with 10
and,
or 50.
And that's where it goes, where I say it goes back to more to editorial and publishing and stuff like that, where I truly believe that they could maintain the quality with 30 books if they had the right resources on it, but they obviously don't.
You also
you really think that with 30 I mean, books they could have something that all holds together and it's good?
It's too unwieldy.
I mean, I don't know.
You could if they didn't come out monthly, if they came out quarterly maybe, but not a
maybe if you did them like the Law and Order shows and they all have nothing to do with one another. And they don't have to relate to one another. And after 1 week, you move on, and it's the next week, and there's no reference to the past.
Right.
You could do it that.
You can't coordinate 30 books. That's impossible.
Well, 30 is a bit much. I mean,
15 books,
you
can't.
Point.
15 monthly titles, you can't keep all in line.
Let me look it up here. Currently, there are 792 X-Men books on the market. I may be reading that figure wrong.
And no, and the thing is that while I'm an X-Men fan, I don't buy all 732.
The multiple man has 8 titles just for his various clones.
Hey, next week when I was all excited for X-Factor number 1 because it was supposed to come out on November 23rd, but it got delayed.
It's
coming out sometime in December.
That's not a good sign.
I know, but
you know what's not a good sign is that you say things like, I was all excited for it, and they've relaunched who knows how many books. And there's never been once where you've been like, oh, that delivered. That was the stuff where you had to have a cigarette afterwards. But you keep coming back like a little kid just waiting to be beaten. It's just horrible. I'm totally this time Excalibur. This time,
well, it's just because you just cross your fingers and you hope. It just it. I mean, look, why did we wait in line for all 3 of the Star Wars movies?
I did too.
I mean, but regardless though, but why? Because
by the third one, I was like, I'm not going back. I'm not going back right away. I saw it that night, but I didn't get in line. Bought tickets at the ArcLight.
Well, we know you weren't certainly going to get your comic books that day.
It was a Thursday.
Anyway, so I don't think we're gonna. If Marvel can't figure it out, I don't think we're gonna figure it out. But
well, there are solutions. They just won't listen to my solution.
They just can't. Yeah. They won't implement the solutions. They don't.
Well, the problem is that the solution goes against the marketing plan, right. And that's where
exactly.
We always get
the problem. It sucks because they're trying to make as much money as possible. Now
exactly.
you can't. I mean, like, if they went down, they cut down to 2 books, and they had an editor who knew his stuff, and they had 2 writers.
And they knew
who
where
were
everybody
really
was at every time. And,
man, they could do some good books. I think.
Yeah.
There's lots of people out there with good ideas.
Right, and the problem is what we talked about in the crossover podcast is that you've got a limited base of fans. How do you make more money? You put out more books. You put out 800 X-Men books because there have been 8 announced in the last 5 minutes. You put out 800 X-Men books, and the X-Men fans will buy most of them. That's how you make more money. If you put it down to 2, you're not going to make any new fans because there aren't any new fans. You're just going to sell less books.
Right.
Do you think though, if you put all your eggs into 1 or 2 baskets, like if you really said, all right, you know what, let's just reel this in, and make it really good, you think it would make a difference? I guess they probably wouldn't get any more sales, so there'd be no point in doing.
Well,
it.
Well, I mean, but you could say they did that with the Ultimate line.
Well, we've had this discussion where how many comic book reading people do we think there actually are? We think we talked maybe 500,000. So at the most, every single comic book fan bought your book, you're still only selling fraction of what you sold in the 80s, a fraction of what you sold.
So in the entire world, there's only 500,000 people
that's
who I could
just,
relate to?
That's our,
I don't know if that's accurate.
I'd say a third of those are just, the other kind.
I think that's a pretty close, because top-selling book sells, if it's lucky, 100,000 books.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to see some more numbers. I don't know about that.
That's my scientific estimate. I don't think there's any more than 500,000 people. Really.
There's probably less than that, because I'm imagining a large amount of them are buying multiple copies still, just in case.
Right.
So of the 100,000, about 1,000 of those are just one guy.
Hey, somebody's sending books to the CGC.
What's great is that somewhere, some guy is having his Generation M number 1 slab. Because he's
exactly.
This chamber
eBay,
guy,
this...
there could be a movie. And when there is... Ugh, I'm going to cash in.
I hate those people.
I know.
Do they still exist? I haven't read a wizard in a long time.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Does wizard still push the CGC of books?
I don't know this for sure, so this could be incorrect, but I'm pretty sure wizard owns a piece of them.
Right,
I
which is why I'm asking if they still push it, because you're the only one left who reads wizard.
Yeah, I know. Apparently, I don't know why.
Let me ask you, do you enjoy Wizard?
From time to time, there's a good article. Honestly, from time to time, there's a good article. Like, there was a...
What's time to time mean? 2 or 3 times a year? Because every once in a while, I will flip through a GQ and think, hey, that's a good article. I don't subscribe.
Right.
What's it going to take?
Well, I don't subscribe to it.
You just buy it every month, which is so funny by subscribing.
Where you'd save money. Difference.
You'd save money by subscribing, at least.
Yeah, probably.
I did that. I had a subscription once.
I've never had a subscription to Wizard.
Well, this
ever.
Way he gets to pick his cover.
Ooh. And it would come all trashed, and you'd hate that. Do you have all your Wizards? You save them all?
Well, yeah, but that's because I save all my magazines.
He's got magazines from floor to ceiling.
Yeah, I've got. I mean, if you want to know who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly the week of April 4th, 1996, I could tell you.
Tell me right now without looking. That would be impressive.
No, they're all packed up in storage. No, but I have a ridiculous number of magazines in my parents' basement. So
why?
Because there's no room to store them here.
Okay, that was really not the part of the.
That wasn't the
why.
Was
asking. Well, honestly, Josh, I just don't have enough room. It was going a little deeper.
I don't know. I just like to keep them. You never know when you want to read them.
Have you ever gone back and read them?
I've never gone back and read another issue.
I mean, come on. Way media.
I'm adamantly against recycling.
He doesn't want to throw it away, but he doesn't want to recycle it either. So I'll just hang on.
So anyway, enough about me. So
no, you're fascinating. I'm sorry, it just keeps going that way.
Oh, before we get off, we have to keep you updated on the Ultimate Vision.
Oh, there was another part of Ultimate Vision.
We had part number 3 on the back of Ultimate Fantastic Four,
which she turned around,
where she scratched her leg.
Robot, stand up.
This issue was 4 pages, and I don't know what happened.
What do you mean? Only 4 pages?
I read it, and there are words, but they don't seem to be in any order that makes sense.
Mark Millar write that?
Yeah.
Any chance that he raped a nun?
There's no nun as far as I can. From what I can tell, the Vision is talking is talking to some black guy in a tie, and they seem to be on her home planet, but not. And she's telling him what happened.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
With Galactus
home planet?
Game. Yeah.
What home planet? It's a robot from Earth.
No, Vision is.
When you have 4 pages, you shouldn't have any exposition about what happened.
Yeah, well, this is what we're having.
Back in issue 2. issue 3. So
refer to issue 3, when, panel 4. Yeah, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. So, anyway. So, Connor, what did you get this week?
Was I supposed to buy comics?
Welcome to the club.
Here's what happened. I'm on vacation. And my regular comic book store is near my office. And that's just really far away. So, I don't like, you know, I'm on vacation, I didn't shower, I grew some sort of weird Fu Manchu. I didn't want to go all the way into Manhattan, which is, you know, it's like a good 30 minutes on the subway. Who wants to do that when you could be playing Warcraft at home? So I went to my local comic store, which is awful, and I try not to go there at all costs because it's one of those terrible... stocks mostly Marvel books. It's really cluttered, and you can't move around. It's too much stuff in there. The owner has a hacking cough, and just they never have any.
You want a Spider-Man?
Never had any books. When I went there for a year when I was working a different place, and I would have to go to a second shop at least half the time to pick up a DC book they didn't stock or only stocked one of.
That.
Or God forbid I buy something that wasn't DC or Marvel, I had to go somewhere else. So. It was with great trepidation that I went to the local store, only to find it shuttered, and the contents in boxes. So that store is no longer with us. And
it's so surprising that it's no longer with us, considering how dedicated
I know.
We were.
Well, it was a shock, but it wasn't a shock. You know, like I didn't break stride, but I stutter stepped. You know, I walked right past it.
What's funny is that you were on your way there, so I would assume that you would have walked up from one direction. And then after you came out, come back that same direction, but you chose to just keep walking.
I made a big circle. What I did was
because you didn't want anyone on the street to see your surprise.
Well, I had you to walk up to it. Go ahead.
Right, I had another errand to run, so but I did make.
Sure you did.
I was not in the least surprised because it was, like I said, a terrible store, and there's probably the same 3 or 4 people I saw there every week when I went there. So that wasn't a surprise. But then again,
one of his customers died and he couldn't survive anymore.
It's the only shop in the area. So,
well, here's a question for you. When was the last time you were there?
In the store or in the?
Yeah, the last time you went to the store to buy something.
Oh, jeez, I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, well, that might be a reason why.
All right, guys,
it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
No. Here it is. You got this is important. There's an opening in Park Slope for a comic shop. Let's live the dream. Come on!
It's funny because as I was
it'll be like this all the time! Look at this cover! Blah, blah, blah! You play Warcraft! Blah, 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 blah! Roll a 20! It's... Oh! Bye! I'm sorry.
It's funny, as I was walking up to the store, a guy, an older man and his son, his younger child, walked up and he was like, oh, it's closed. And I thought to myself, there's no way that kid's going to buy comics. That old guy was looking for his comics, and that's part of the reason why it's probably closed.
Did the kid say, oh, it's closed?
Oh, no, the
kid never looked up from his PSP.
Yeah. So
I was gonna be like, that would be such an idyllic little story. Like you're there at the close, the comic shop's all boarded up, and the kid's like, "Oh, Dad, how am I gonna get Amazing Spider-Man now?" You know.
If anything, he was gonna be sad about not getting magic cards.
Yeah.
But so it
Magic's
obviously
not around anymore.
It obviously just happened recently. So yeah. I mean, there was still merchandise in the store; it just was in boxes. But now I've got no recourse if I don't go to the place. I
have no recourse but to open a store.
I have. It's true. I'm going to open one next week.
They'll give you money. You just go in there and you talk to them. I know all about Batman.
So if I'm out of luck for comics, I've got to go travel. I can't walk anywhere now. So, which is anathema to a New Yorker. But that's my story. I got no books this week. I'm not going to be able to get anything until next week when I'm back at work. Oh, happy day!
And you get a double. You get the fantastic double week that Josh has become a pro at.
Triple.
Triple
double
week.
Triple. It's a good week for Josh.
I only pick my books up when I have to do pick of the week.
But I had a light week. It was only going to be 8 books.
But that's changing though, right?
Yeah, it should.
In January.
Yeah. I'm almost out. But all the other thing is, I live in Los Angeles, where from the end of November until January, you do travel as little as possible because once this city goes Christmas shopping. There's no movement on
gridlock.
Oh, it's awful.
Also, it gets really cold. It gets in like the 60s, right?
It is in the mid 60s right now.
Who wants to go out in that?
It rained a little bit.
Uh-oh. Well, you definitely don't want to go out in that.
No, but the traffic. I swear to you, if you look down like at the freeway from our office, you can see the freeway. And every single night now, it's just like all you see is brake lights. It's not even like anybody's going anywhere. Dude. It's just I don't go anywhere.
It's safe to assume you don't have any comics to talk about either.
No.
All right.
But I'm almost done with my Lord of the Rings book.
We dropped the ball. Right. I apologize, Ron.
That's all right. Here I am, sick, working all week. Someone had to carry the iFanboy banner this week, and you know, me and my X-Men books.
You must be so proud.
It gave me a good 40 minutes of annoyance this week.
Well, you were upset about having to carry that $25 around.
Heavy, exactly.
It wasn't gaining very much interest. It just, what's the point?
Hey, Connor, what was the name of your store that closed? Was it Comics Plus?
Yes.
Okay.
How'd you know that?
I wish it was something to do with a dragon.
Galaxy Collectibles, spelt C-O-L-L... Collectables is at 429 Fifth Avenue, and Mutant Mania 3 is at 6823 Fifth Avenue.
Oh,
are those nearby you, or
who knows? I'll look later.
You didn't really know if there's not another store. There could be one a block away, but you wouldn't know.
Well, I really think you have to walk into Galaxy Collectables. And just kind of walk around, sit down, nod, and say, "This'll do," and just hang out there for like 4 hours.
What you need to do is you need to go in there, you need to grab a seat at their giant playing board mountain set, and maybe paint a pewter figure real quick, and then discuss maybe if they have some sort of subscription service where they can save their issues of ElfQuest for you at a discount, of course.
You know, that's really interesting. It's like, how long do you have to shop at a store before you're a recognized regular?
Well, it depends on the store. My, you know, my regular store is so big that I'm never going to be recognized regular.
Well, yeah, you're just a number, right? Although you are a stand-up guy.
Apparently, I am. They've got a service where they keep track of your purchases and they give you a discount when you hit a certain number. So everybody has a computer file that shops there regularly. And a couple of weeks ago, I went in there and I gave the woman behind the counter my number, and she said, "Oh, you're a stand-up guy." And I was really confused for a minute. And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, it says here in the computer." And I looked over, and it said stand-up guy. So I don't know what that means. And I'm afraid to ask.
It means they haven't caught you stealing yet.
Well, not yet, anyway.
Did you have a comedy set that night?
Maybe I am a stand-up. Maybe there's another
you're
comedy
stand-up guy. And you never showed up, and so you lost your status.
So, but yeah, they're so big, I'm never, you know, you're never a regular.
Right. My guy knew me, which is why it was so hard to break up with him.
I have an interesting note about my store, which is not based on anything we've talked about here, but conversations I've had with Ron and Josh off the podcast. My store used to be, you walk in and you had the racks of comics on the wall with all the new stuff, and then the middle was all their back issues. And a few weeks ago, I walked in, all their back issues are now gone, have been replaced by trade paperbacks.
Interesting. So where, in Midtown?
Yeah, Midtown. The whole ground floor is now all trade paperbacks.
Really?
Yeah.
They had a weird method of doing the trade paperbacks, though. It was like that long.
It was all. It was like it was on those shelves.
It's just an interesting sort of evolution of Midtown's a humongous store. They do a big business and they.
Dude, back issues.
Back issues are dead and trades.
I think back issues are dead.
Yeah.
So I mean, and I walked in and I was like, what? Like you felt like you walked off the wrong floor in the elevator in a building or something.
It used to be that after something happened, you couldn't get it.
Yeah.
So you only had the back issue, and now, or so like if you wanted to read the whole story, well now you can get a trade paperback, or in a lot of cases you can get it off the web. The back issue is a thing no more.
I used to actively buy back issues. I used to. I mean, I haven't in years. I mean, probably because my, 26 long boxes are in storage because I don't have enough room here. But
they're burying you with those.
Yeah, I know. I used to.
Well, your storage unit is just one big fire hazard, isn't it? Magazines and comics.
Well, I think the entire storage unit building as a whole is one big fire hazard, as evidenced by the insurance policy that they offered me when I signed up for it that protected from urban riots.
In Norwalk, Connecticut.
I swear to God, this insurance policy, I should get a copy of it. It outlines all the things you're protected for. And, of course, it's like fire, act of God,
flooding,
tornado, hurricane, all this stuff. But then it got into urban riots, spaceship-related debris. it was like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
It's covering all their bases. They have the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Ever,
so when the aliens do invade Norwalk, my comics will be insured. So, but
thank God. And I think with that, we've strayed far enough off topic and...
we've wasted everyone's enough time.
We've wasted everyone's time.
But if you want to go read Ron's full review of this week's Pick of the Week, you can go to ifanboy.com and check it out there.
If you want it.
Yes, you can.
Because all the money, all the women, even all the comic books in the world, they can't substitute for that one person.